And welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of December 9th, 2019. Today we're joined by our co-host, the author, educator, and Christmas elf, Ms. Mariah Tinger. How are you doing, Mariah?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Some big names in the climate world tried to make a big splash this week. If you've ever heard of
Al Gore.
Al Gore. So what we're talking about is, you've heard of a guy named Schwarzenegger, the gubernator out in California, right? But you've probably also heard of a guy named John Kerry, who, former senator of Massachusetts, was Secretary of State for a while, and as part of his job as Secretary of State, led the Obama administration's effort to fashion the Paris Accord, sort of the bedrock document that's keeping the global climate project on track, right? So Kerry has long history. If you got this stuff in front of you, Mariah, of how many things Kerry, you know, what Kerry did over the years.
Yeah, so he was there in 1997 in Kyoto when the Kyoto, right, the Kyoto
Protocol,
yeah. The first global climate treaty was negotiated. And you know, he's really been beating this drum since then. Mm-hmm. 4 years later, he was denouncing President George W. Bush from the Senate floor after he withdrew from the United States, after he withdrew the United States from the Kyoto Protocol. And then in 2009, he was one of three bipartisan senators who tried to pass an ambitious climate bill, which didn't pass, unfortunately. And then, as you said, as Secretary of State in 2014, he was really largely behind the first climate agreement between the United States and China, which cleared the way for the Global Paris Agreement, the right. Paris Accord that we talk about from, you know, that happened in COP21.
So, I mean, there's no doubt that John Kerry has a noble and heartfelt commitment and has done, I mean, the Paris Accord is a lifetime. If he only did the Paris Accord, that would be a lifetime achievement, right? He's got the right understanding. So let me just say what's happened. So John Kerry has announced an effort, an alliance of politicians, Hollywood rock stars, generals, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Leonardo DiCaprio,
Leonardo.
Okay, excuse me, Kasich from Ohio. You know, the sort of Republican kind of guy, former governor of Ohio, a broad coalition called, with the title, dramatically enough, World War Zero, in order to draw attention to climate change issues. Right, Mariah?
Yeah, and I think the name is of notable interest, right? It's a reference to its goal of an American economy with net zero emissions. That's the zero part, by 2050. So net zero by 2050. And then to the wartime style mass mobilization that we need to get us there. We've waited too long. And at this point, the only way we're going to do it is, you know, that kind of world war
mindset.
Yeah, mindset and initiative that we have, where we're all working together toward a certain cause, a certain goal. I mean, not all, but right, to address this. And I think it's really key to mention that it's bipartisan. That's really, really important to carry. In a lot of sort of the news that we've read about it is that it's not the conversations being had by the World War Zero Committee group is not to push for a specific policy agenda, but to really push people to prioritize the climate crisis and elect leaders who prioritize it too. So regardless of their party affiliation, just really be looking, that should be one of the big things that you're looking at, is who are the leaders that are prioritizing climate?
Mm-hmm.
As you mentioned, there are notable Republicans, right? We've got John Kasich and Cindy McCain, right? John McCain, the late John McCain's wife, who are want to be part of this, but they have wildly different views on what we should do about it, but they are saying we need to do something about it. And in, by design, Kerry is keeping it away from policy. He's not talking about policy. He's not talking about the Green New Deal. He's saying we just need to get everybody on board with the fact that we need to address this, and we need to address it quickly and rapidly and in a very mass mobilization kind of way.
And let the penny fall as to what that means, the implication of that dramatic realization, right?
Right. Like they're not saying we're going to be anti-fracking or anti-natural gas. There's no statement of that. It's just really focused on getting
I read board. Somewhere that the point was they were going to be having town halls in key election states and various things across the country. Did you catch that? I mean,
yeah.
That they were also going to be going to military bases to sort of, which is kind of bizarre, but I mean, they're going to be meeting with people to raise the expectation of the sort of grassroots, right?
Back to the comment about them going to military bases, I actually think that's super important, right? Because what's the military base? The naval base that's down in Virginia that's mm-hmm. being flooded, right? And there's so many, you know, the military is very pointedly called climate threats, climate change a threat multiplier. Mm-hmm. It really leads to a lot of destabilization. And so there's a very big swath of military leaders who are absolutely on board with the fact that we need to address climate change. And getting more people on the ground in the military involved with climate change, I think, is very essential to its success.
I guess, I've never served in the military, but my understanding is very top down, right? You get told what to do. So the Joint Chiefs of Staff are not going to listen to people on the bases who are they might, right? Let me change that. They would, but it seems like that bottoms-up approach in the military is less likely to work than a bottoms-up approach in grassroots politics.
As with any system, right, you want some top-down. When you have an emergency situation, you do need a lot of top-down to get things going fast. But the bottom-up, the ground approach is often where you get the best ideas. The people who are working on the, you know, right at the mm-hmm. base of things, and they say, hey, look, we're doing this and it's creating a ton of greenhouse gas emissions and we probably could do something different. That might, you know, help us combat climate change. And then also who they're talking to and the influence that the military leaders can have, right? If you are hearing messages from your top-down leaders that are like, this is incredibly important and we're going to put all of our energy into this because it matters, then they're talking to people and it's that trusted messenger, right? Yeah. If you hear from a military person that you trust, we have to address climate change, it's very important to the nation's security. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, you're like, oh, I trust that person. I'm not going to be listening to some of the stuff that says climate change doesn't exist or it's a hoax, right?
Well, I guess that's, as you said, one of the goals of the whole Kerry thing is to put the national security aspect of climate change into the mix, right? So that people have the. But I guess I was sort of intrigued with the. The top-down versus bottom-up connection. And I think there's some reporter named Emily Atkins had an interview with Kerry, and he did talk about the top-down and bottom-up connection, although it is. If you're John Kerry, it's hard to be grassroots, right? John Kerry is, you know, richer than Donald Trump. He's got more money than most people. It's not likely he's going to have great grassroots connections, right? But he's the whole question of how this star-studded alliance can reach down and make contact, right? What kind of people do you think they're going to get at the grassroots level?
I think that's kind of the point of this bipartisan coalition is to get people on all sides of the aisle to buy in, to get some, like you said, star-studded power. And you know, one of the things that I read, and I think it was an article in Science, was that if you can get people to recognize the upside options, right, the reasons that we need to do to address climate change, you can change the narrative that it doesn't exist. And one of Kerry's goals, one of the things he said in the interview, is that you can break out of that trap of it being something we don't need to address or a hoax, is by having conversations with people and motivating people to activate themselves, to really get out there and take advantage of that sort of actionable belief that we can do something about it. And we can do something by voting, by being loud, by getting our voices out there in a nonpartisan way.
Well, so I guess I keep dancing with the question of whether or not, I mean, John Kerry has the right impulse to act. I'm struggling with how this coalition is going to make progress in some new way, right? Because motivating people to act, yeah, of course. We've been trying to get motivating people to act, right, for years and years, right? So where are we now with this, other than, you know, people hated John Kerry when he was running for president, right? So why all of a sudden is he going to be able to bring people in? And I guess the other important question is whether or not. So the other thing that is tripping around the back of my head, and Mariah, tell me if I'm wrong, is that this is another coalition of powerful white guys in suits, right? And that in the age of Greta Thunberg and the Sunrise Movement and environmental justice efforts, where there's real energy in the grassroots of the climate movement, how does a coalition of Schwarzenegger, Kerry, and John Kasich, how do they appeal to that demographic? Or do they? Is that what they're trying to get at?
Well, so... Excuse me. Well, so a couple things. The first is that, so I think it's important to clarify that this is not a group of only white men. There are Stacey Abrams is in it. There are definitely a number. There is some diversity there.
Okay.
And I think that's very important to any climate movement. You have to have diversity. That's not to say there aren't a lot of white men in the group, but there is some diversity.
And forgive me, Mariah, for interrupting, but to John Kerry's credit, in the interview that I read, he was quite open about the fact that that was a very important aspect of things. He was not in a silo on the question of the diversity question.
Right. Yep. But I, you know, one of the things that I sort of asked you when we were off air was, how is this different than, say, the Climate Solutions Caucus, which is a bipartisan effort, or really Al Gore's Climate Reality Project? I mean, there are definitely differences, but I think we have a lot of groups that are trying to address this, and, you know,
to reach across that partisan divide.
Yeah,
right?
And what is it? Why is this going to work? I don't know the answer to that any more than you do. I do think the name is impactful, right? It doesn't say anything about climate change or environmentally friendly or Green New Deal, right? This is like, nope, World War Zero. This is something that takes Herculean effort and it's incredibly important. And I think that that's been often missing for the narrative, where, you know, one of the things I talk about a lot is that it's not about saving the planet, because we're just sort of, the planet, you know, Mother Nature's our landlord, right? We're just tenants in the planet. Like, the planet will be fine whether we're on it or not. It's about saving the human species existence on the planet. That's what the real goal here. And so, you know, these names like Green New Deal and environmental, save the planet, save the environment, it's not about the environment. And this title, World War Zero, does get to the heart of that.
It personalizes it and humanizes it.
Yeah, we've got to do something drastic and fast. And that's true. We have to do something drastic and fast if we want, and we can, because that's the other thing, is we've done it in the past. We've mm-hmm. had world wars. We've had efforts that were, you know, I mean, one of the other things that they talked about for the Green New Deal was calling it the Apollo New Deal, right? Or something
right,
of that
right,
sort.
Right.
Just to highlight how we can do things really hard and really intense if we put our minds to it. And so the name has some of the trappings of that, which is good.
Well, I guess the while I wonder, right, I'm sort of squinting my eyebrows at this whole thing, I do think that there is a justification for the effort. And the analogy I've used, I think, on this show, Mariah, you'll probably roll your eyes when I say it again, but I mean, the fight on the best analogy is a World War II analogy to D-Day, right? Where you had all kinds of wildly divergent skills and methods being applied to the invasion of Europe, right? You had guys in, paratroopers, you had bombers, you had sailors, you had, guys in the landing boats, you had weathermen in London, you had spies, you had all these kinds of people all working towards the same goal. And so I think that the idea that John Kerry and trying to bring in people who are currently unconscious about the whole issue, right? He wants to have 10 million conversations with grassroots people. That's great. I mean, he should go at it. We need that sort of, we as climate, maybe I'm speaking to myself, Ted, as a climate hawk, needs to be open to, all kinds of efforts. There's all kinds of things that have to happen, right? Because the situation is so dire. And I give John Kerry credit for making the effort. I mean, this guy could be off windsurfing in Barbados 24 hours a day if he wanted to, right? But he's fighting the good fight, and God bless him. I mean, and so if you see this, right, if you see this World War Zero thing, sign up for it. You should, right? I would go if I saw a seminar. If Arnold Schwarzenegger came to my little town to make a presentation, I'd go listen to him.
Yeah, well, and excuse me. Interestingly enough, they do have, you can go to their website and they call it Enlist.
Oh, really?
You can enlist on their website. Yeah, you can go to worldwarzero.com.
Okay.
Enlist on their website, and they have very specific actionable things that you can do in your local communities.
Okay.
To begin the process. And then in the next year, they're going to start big grand mobilizations of people on a large scale. And Kerry's currently in the process, I think, of fundraising and getting financial support to start doing some bigger things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, good for you. I mean, it's one of these things I think that the situation is dire enough that you can't sneeze, that you can't look down your nose at anything, right? What's the line from the movies about how it's maybe crazy enough to just work? That idea is so crazy it just might work, right? So there you go. We will keep our eye on World War Zero. We'll put up a link to how you can enlist. Check out the MCAN website to enlist at there's lots of groups that with offering things you can do, but worldwarzero.com. Interesting. All right, Mariah, we got to put it down there. Let me say we'll put up links on the blog at massclimateaction.org/blog. You can check it out on Facebook at @massclimateaction. You're already listening to the show on one of those marvelous modern podcast distribution apps. So what I would ask you to do is to tell a friend about our show. That can be your climate action. It's probably not listed at the World War Zero website, but your climate action for the day is to tell a friend to listen to the Climate Minute. If you do that, send us an email and tell us about it to podcast@massclimateaction.net. We're always interested in your comments. We want to thank our friend D.R. Tucker for his continuing research support. And we want to close where we always close, by saying that we recognize the necessity of personal accountability, that we accept responsibility for building a durable future, that we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out. Because of those three things, we have to insist that the United States transform its energy sector over the next decade under a just and equitable plan that uses regulation, investment, and a price on carbon to safeguard our future. So, Mariah, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll talk to you again soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
Very cool.